seconds left.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. This is Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's I was about to say Dr. Kelly. Well, it's a Freudian slip. Oh my God, that's a therapist Kelly. You know what? I think it's like almost in my subconscious. I do want to get my doctorate at some point. So.
That's what you said.
I don't know if it'll ever happen, but
you never know. That's such a long haul, though.
It is. It's like, it's a dream. We'll see.
You know, I don't know that it gets you that much more. I mean, yes, I have to say that when I got my doctorate, it was fun to be able to say. In fact, I went to a restaurant when it was official, and I had my friends page me three times at the restaurant.
That's so cute, Dr. Deborah. I love that.
So they'd come over and say, but it's funny, the sexism. So I'm sitting at the table with my boyfriend at the time, and they look right at him, go, Dr. Mandel?
No.
They're like, really? Come on.
Interesting.
I'm the one who just earned that.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Well, I feel like that happens a lot when somebody will say, you know, who's your psychiatrist? How is he? Or, you know, it's like they automatically assume it's a he. Really interesting.
You know, people do that with animals, too. Like, I don't know, bunnies.
Are they squirrels?
Are they male? Are they female? Because we can't tell.
Right. But I always thought, I always do he for animals because I have moose. So it's always like, I'm used to saying he. But
sure.
Yeah. Anyway. So what's been going on with you? How was your week?
Oh, I'm very excited because my daughter, my sweet daughter, she came in late last night. They had a long drive. They were quite a pair. Poor Michael, her boyfriend, had a herniated disc this last week. So he was in pain. She had the bad cold. So I was like, are you guys going to make it? They were supposed to come down on Saturday and they were going to come to Newport Beach with us to have our little holiday celebration with Christopher's kids.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't, but we did get to FaceTime them on Sunday evening to say hi.
That's
from
good.
Everybody. So it was good.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they're headed off to the East Coast, tomorrow night, so they'll be gone for a week, and we've got Mischief.
I know you have her dog.
Her real name is Missy, but we can call her Mischief.
That's so cute.
She is adorable. Anyway, how are you?
Everything's good. I think we've realized I think my kids have opened up more holiday gifts than like we. Like I keep saying, like we'll wait, and then like it just one after the other. So that's what's been going on with us. But now everything's good. You know, we're going to go to Great Wolf Lodge, the water park place. I'm super excited. I think my husband and I are more excited. They heat it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my husband and I are more excited than the kids. Like they have this one water slide where it's like completely vertical. I mean, like literally, you're standing in like almost like an enclosed glass, and then the floor drops.
Oh my gosh, and where is this?
Isn't that so cool?
Yes.
It's near Disneyland, actually.
And the kids are not afraid.
Well, that one, Remy waited about 45 minutes in line. He got to the top, he went in and was like, And then I was like, I'll meet you down there, Remy. I'm going to do it. So I asked him this year, I'm like, do you want to do the drop? He's like, no. He's like, I'll do the other one. So he'll do a little bit less, but I bet you if London was tall enough, he would do it.
Oh, he's not.
No, but he's tall enough for like the middle ones now, which is good.
Is he more of a daredevil than Remy?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's a very second child thing too, right? It's like the second child is a little bit more daring. The first is a little more responsible and kind of more cautious.
I don't know, the opposite probably for my sister and me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I was so shy. I was just afraid of everything.
Yeah.
I was hide behind my mother's leg if anybody said boo. You know,
like, it's so funny because I don't see you that way.
I know.
It's
I did a lot to overcome it. I really did. I mean, I knew that I would function so much better in the world and get more of the things that I was really looking forward to if I broke out of that. So I really did a lot of work.
Yeah. But do you feel like by nature you were an introvert?
Well, no, because in the presence of people I felt very comfortable with and safe with, I was a complete ham.
Right.
But if anybody I hadn't met and I didn't know, I had a lot of caution about who I was going to trust and bring into my world.
So,
Wow. You were probably super gregarious
always. Like my brother was the shy one. He'd be like, Kelly, can you ask the waiter for more ketchup? Like he was like, you know, you think he'd be talking to like, you know, the president. Like for me, it was like, oh my God, yes. An opportunity to like, you know, get attention.
You're probably a flirt when you were little, I bet.
Still a flirt. Yes, for sure. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. All right. So last week we had our show sponsor on the show.
Yes, that was really cool. We talked about relationships, and it was a really fun banter. I felt like the hour went really quick. And yeah, if you missed that show, we kind of talked a little bit about relationships, what works, what doesn't, divorce.
Gender differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was nice to have a male point of view
in
that, because you and I can talk about what we think we're so generalized and know both, but we really don't. Since last I checked, we are both female, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Exactly.
all right, so let's do a shout out for our sponsor, and then we will introduce our guests for this week.
All right.
Hello, this is Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, encouraging you to consider using my relationship consulting services, where I help people transition from being married to divorced to single, one of the most difficult transitions in life. You can check out some of this information on my website, secondchanceatromance.com. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them. And I look forward to working with you. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Ian. Okay, today is very exciting because we have been talking about energy, the energy on the planet, in the world, among people, and all of that. So we have two fantastic guests today. Go ahead. You introduce
I'm
the
so
first
excited.
One.
And it's then I'll really, do exact- I feel like this is the perfect timing, because the reason I wanted to do this show is I feel like the world is in a very chaotic state right now. Like, I feel like obviously it's very divided, but I don't know, I guess I'm kind of sensitive to energy too, but it feels like a lot. And so it's such a perfect timing to have two specialists who really, you know, are experts in this and in energy. And so the first one we have is Dr. Andre Seltzer. He's a medical intuitive medium. Andre is an internationally recognized medical intuitive and healing medium who specializes in frequency energy medicine, FEM, and advanced medical intuition, AMI. Andre's approach to wellness is both fun, educational, and quite unusual. He focuses more on the energy around the problem and not just on the condition. For the past 25 years, he's practiced in the U.S. and Europe, collaboratively with healthcare professionals and alternative practitioners, helping to unravel the mysteries surrounding unusual health and spiritual issues. From a very young age, Andre sought to understand his natural abilities and how they could be applied to benefit others. Andre has dedicated his life to researching and understanding the interactions of bioenergetic frequencies and their connection to imbalances of the mind, body, and spirit. Today, Andre has an integrative healing practice and works alongside a team of healthcare professionals and researchers to help bring a better understanding of energetic fields and how they can be integrated into modern healthcare therapies.
Very exciting. Okay. And then our other guest today is, her name, she was on before.
Yes.
4 months ago, Mitra Rabar. Hope I got that right.
Yes.
She's healer and master intuitive, teacher to thousands, songstress and poet of the language of the soul. Mitra is here to bring forth teachings, awareness, and joy of spirit. Her journey and gift of special sight was predicted at the age of 7 by a high priest in Iran. Soon after, facing the challenges of a teen immigrant, she committed to a spiritual discipline and service through social work, that deepening her understanding for others and paving the way for her life's work in spiritual service. Her book, Miraculous Silence, A Journey of Illumination and Healing Through Prayer, has been praised by spiritual leader Michael Beckwith, as well as Jennifer Aniston, Sheryl Crow, Giselle
Bundchen.
Thank you, and many others. Okay, welcome, our lovely
Hi.
Guest. Hello.
Hey, hello. We can feel the energies already.
Probably mine from excitement. Andre, you're there too, yes? Ooh. Oh, no.
Did we drop Andre?
You know what? I guess he... Okay, let's see.
Okay, we're going to get him back on the line.
We'll get him back on the line. But why don't we start with Mitra while I get him back.
And the frequencies sometimes create these hang-up calls, you know?
I remember you saying that. Did you hear what she said? This is really interesting. So, Mitra, remember when you said that? I attended a beautiful session that she had, and I remember you saying that. I thought it was so interesting that a lot of times, because they're so powerful with energy, that it kind of disrupts things.
Yeah, it's just so common that sometimes, go off, or, for example, the recorders go off. And then we have Andre and me on the phone, so, you know, he deals with energy all the time. And so there's a lot of energy already in the air. So then you have people who do this work, and so the energies can just kind of be overloading the circuit.
Right. God, that's amazing. Absolutely yeah. amazing. Okay, so we're going to start with you while we connect him. First of all, I would love to know your thoughts about kind of what the world's going through.
Wait, are we
right
trying
now.
To get Andre back?
Yeah,
on?
I'm trying yeah. to call him oh, currently. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see.
So, you know, first of all, thank you for having me back on. I so appreciate it. And I want to just give a shout out to everyone who's out there listening. It is a time. But then again, it's also the opportunity for creationship. And I always believe that sometimes we need the hectic and chaotic times or the uncertain times to find the things we have convictions about and to bring forth the changes we want and birth these into our world to create a better life. Usually, if we look at history, whether it's in the lives of individual people, like we can choose Nelson Mandela, we can choose Gandhi, we can choose this holiday season, we can choose a Christ. You will see that through severe darkness was birthed a life. Gandhi's first 40 years of life was very different than his remaining years. Nelson Mandela's life, once he entered the prison system, in that dark energy, he brought so much light and warmth. The people who work at the prison. So I think that instead of losing ourselves in the frenzy of the holiday season, first of all, I choose to use the word holy day season. Holiday implies that this is a period of going away for rest and rejuvenation. No, this is, we have Hanukkah and Christmas on the same day. This is a holy day season. But we need to go into the meaning, the essence of the holidays, the holy days, and not lose ourselves in the frenzy of buying gifts and running around in the malls, but come to the essence why we even are celebrating this time.
Right, right.
You're celebrating this time to come together, to share and give to those who are less fortunate, and to reflect and come to the honoring of the self. And unless we do this, we cannot quiet the chaos. We will be part of the chaos. So we want to disconnect from the chaos and reconnect with the essence. That is very key to creating these frequencies that will bring us together like a chain and will then affect our world. As we will always be this, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah or New Year or their Valentine's Day, we will give into the chaos, but not give into the essence. There's a very key difference here. And we have lost the essence. Many of us have lost essence, so we need to reconnect.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful way to look at it, too. Andre, did we get you on the phone now? I just want to make sure you're still
yeah.
there. Okay, good.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, you guys are so powerful that you blew up our phone
line. I'm not kidding. It's so funny.
The two of us together, really.
I know. It's too much. It's all good. So, okay, so I guess now that we both have you on, I'm curious kind of, for our listeners, because I'm sure they're curious, maybe when you both discovered your unusual abilities. I know we talked a little bit in the bio, Mitra, but I'd love to hear your personal experience, and obviously same with you, Andre.
Well, after you, Mitra, if you'd like to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I think I did a little bit speak about this. I think people who have are very mission-oriented or have been given a mission in this life or have been given a special gift. Everyone's been given gifts. But some people maybe realize it early on. In my case, it's not that I necessarily realized the gift myself. As somebody who was a spiritual priest in the community realized this gift when I was 7 years of age. I didn't realize that gift. I didn't even understand it at 7 years of age.
Right.
But then as my life journey took me on at around 10 years to volunteer at the orphanages, and then at 11 to start doing readings. I just realized by the time I was very early 20s that there was something that was just a little bit different that I had to look into. In my case, being an immigrant and facing so many difficulties, I just kind of gave in a beautiful way. I surrendered to this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. It's been really almost all of my life that this has been part of me. So I don't realize ever a separation. There was not a moment when I came into this. It was just kind of, I walked into this since a very young age, and been on this journey, which took me then to be a spiritual teacher, to be do medium, then to do all this work in the Middle East and here, and then to become an author. So it's kind of, for me, not been about one thing. It's just been about the journey and how it's unfolded for me, which is just beautiful. However, it carries a very big responsibility, as I'm sure Andre will tell you.
Yes.
People who have this, people who have this energies, and there is there's some times we have to sacrifice a lot of our own personal lives or lives, and sometimes we get overloaded, and it takes a long time to learn how to basically not get overloaded, how to create boundaries. And so a lot of people who tell me, oh, I want to take this route, and they're 20 years old, I say it takes really a good 10-15 years.
Wow.
To know how to not let this drain you, but give to you as you're giving. Because what Andre and I do is just really about giving.
Yes.
And so this is, we have to be sure that there are those boundaries, there are those, else we would not be able to do what we do.
That's beautiful. And Andre, can you share your story with us about your discovery?
Well, mine is very similar. However, I'm more of the surprise. It was a surprise to me and my family. What happened is that on my seventh birthday, I woke up that morning and I could see a glow around my left foot. So I jumped out of bed at like 2 a.m., ran to my parents' room and said, "Mom, Dad, I can see colors."
And they were like, huh?
And they're like, "Andre, go back to bed." And I did. And that following week, I began to see energy around plants and around people, around animals. But I lived in a working class family, and we didn't really talk about things like that. So it was kind of the great secret. And the more I saw these colors, the more I began to realize that different colors meant certain things. And it really came to a head when my auntie came to the house, and as she walked through the door, I saw this dark area all around the left side, and I said, "Auntie, you're sick."
Oh,
she wow. She completely freaked out because she had breast cancer, hadn't told anybody, and it just became kind of a family issue. My parents got scared that maybe I was causing these things. So I went through this whole process of, one, people were really curious about what I could do, and the other part, there was absolute terror and fear.
Sure.
And I then at 12 began to develop into a medium. So I was literally having conversations with dead people. So try and imagine having a 7-year-old that suddenly became intuitive and saw energy. And then by the time you're 12, this same kid is starting to have conversations, but not just conversations, bits of history, a philosophy. Mm-hmm. I was able to communicate things that were far beyond my ears. So what happened is my parents decided that it was a really bad thing, and they took me to get treated for it.
Aww.
And I was put on lithium, a number of other drugs, and the idea was that I would stop hearing these voices and having these visions.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, I think for most of my early life, I was stoned. And then by the time I got to 18, I decided that I didn't want the drugs and didn't want to be part of this anymore. So I literally just became the average guy and went into construction, didn't talk about spirituality, but if somebody had a headache, I would go and help with a headache. Everybody wanted to talk to me. Even on the construction site, when a person had a problem, they would seek me out and they would sit down and give them the whole life story. So it became normality. And when I was 24, I had my first child, my son, and he was born and had complications during the birth. And what I did is I went into the incubator and put my hands into the incubator, this little blue thing that was lying there.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I'm not really a religious person, but if there's a God up there, could you kind of help? Mm. Well, the next thing I know, my son went from being blue to being pink, started to cry, and I went tremendously cold.
Oh.
And the nurse saw that, immediately took me from that incubator to another incubator, and I helped that child, and that's how I started my career.
Wow.
I hadn't got a clue what I was doing.
Oh my God.
So I started reading, and what I found is all these contradictions in what was written, and began to realize that the only way you really understand intuition, like Mitra said, is you have to go on a journey, you have to travel,
mm-hmm.
which literally took me around the world, meeting shamans, meeting incredible people like Mitra, being around people that were sages and soothsayers and monks. And I started to unravel this great mystery of life, which is basically everybody has a gift. Mm-hmm. Everybody gives off a frequency or receives frequencies. And if you can learn to understand yourself and master your own abilities, you too can tap into these incredible gifts.
Wow.
Which on some days is a gift, other days is a curse. You try to spend a week with me, I think I'd drive you crazy.
Not that accent. With that accent, we're okay.
Wait, where are you actually from?
Originally from Staffordshire in England. And by the way, you make me blush. But yes, and then I was actually lived most of my life in the industrial cities of the Midlands, which is a bit like Detroit. But I think Detroit's a little bit nicer.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I just grew up in this world of people discovering me. And I think it was people like Mitra that really became the flagship, people that have dedicated their lives, not just to themselves, but as Mitra said, she's helped so many young women mm-hmm. in Iran and the orphanages, and she stepped up to the plate. And I think she's certainly a standard by how I'd like to live. And I think there's a lot of people out there now that are realizing once you have this gift or curse, you can't rest. You have to do something with it. It's both fascinating and scary all at the same time.
So when the two of you walk into the same room together, do lights start to flicker? And
I'm being playful, but I'm also being serious
because like what happened with the phones?
Yes,
and you guys aren't even in the same room
right now. Yeah,
but we love each other very much. We have a tremendous amount of love. From the first time we met each other, tremendous love, heart-centered energy towards each other.
Mm.
And I think we tremendously support and understand this way, and we can discuss sometimes our hurdles, our challenges together, which would be maybe hard to discuss it with someone else.
Sure.
We both try to also hold the light for each other, which I think is just really a gift for each one of us.
So special.
We're the last resort. So a lot of time people come to us when there's nowhere else to go. And I think the responsibility that we both carry is tremendous. So Mitra, when I sit down with Mitra, we can have these incredible conversations and be completely honest about where we sit and what we see.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are together, everything around us changes. If we go and sit in a cafe in Los Angeles, like we have in Westwood, everybody notices. People want to come and talk to us. People
really?
Want to get close to us. People feel something. And mm-hmm. I think it's almost as if when you're in that presence, it doesn't matter whether you talk to us or not. Just being there makes a change.
This makes absolute sense mm-hmm. because I haven't met you, Andre, but I can imagine when I met Mitra, like I just wanted to keep hugging you. I know that sounds so funny, but like it's just like I wanted to be around you more. So that makes complete sense. But hang tight. We're going to take a quick break for a sponsor, and I have many more questions.
Are you frustrated by the tremendous challenges that so many millions of people face in your dating life? If you are, we have your solution. Come talk to me, Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, and my website, secondchanceatromance.com. We can help you. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them.
Okay, we are speaking to Andre Seltzer and Mitra Rabar, spiritual healers, medical medium. My goodness, you guys have so much. All right, I have to ask this question. Don't laugh, but this is so important to me. Are there fairies?
Mm. Absolutely.
Are there what? I'm
sorry. She asked
fairies.
If there are fairies.
Fairies.
Fairies, yeah, like tooth fairy, but like fairies.
Fairies,
yeah.
Little fairies.
Yeah.
I can go one stage further. I can tell you a story that was shared with me by a police officer, actually from Yorkshire. He came to see me, and he was this big, tall, 6-foot police officer. And he sat down and he said, "Look, I have something to share with you, Andre. I know you're into all this psychic stuff. I've got moved from my position up in Yorkshire to here because of what I saw." And this is the story. He told me that he was riding his bike, because in England, we don't always have police cars. We have little bikes with baskets on, and that's our local police officer. And there was a road that went from his home, his police house, to the village. And he was driving on that road. It was in November, because he said it was frosty and cold. And as he was heading towards the village, he stopped and he saw something on the side of the road in a little ditch where there was a little culvert. So he got off his bike and stepped down. And there was not much traffic. It's an old country village. So there's no really cars around. And as he stepped down into the ditch, he saw something lying on the floor, and he thought it was a Barbie doll. So he picked it up, and it was a small person. And so he held it for a few moments, and it was obviously limp. So he opened his jacket and warmed it up. And he was half believing this and half thinking he was dreaming.
Yeah.
And after about half an hour or so, it began to move. So he took it from inside his jacket. It floated above his hands, smiled, and disappeared.
Oh.
Well, he went back to the station and filed a police report. The very next day, his sergeant came to the house, asked him if he'd been drinking or if he'd smoked anything that could be herbal. And he said no. They sent him for a drug test. And then they moved him, a month later, down to the city out of that area without any other comments, not telling him why. But he hadn't talked about it for a couple of years, but he wanted to get off his chest.
Yeah.
It just so happens that place in Yorkshire is famous for sightings of fairies and fairy circles.
Really?
So either he was completely lying to me, which I don't believe.
Right.
Or he had a genuine story. So... Why can there not be fairies? Why is it impossible for these incredible little beings to be alive? When throughout history, from the Celtic history, from you go as far into France, they talk about these little people, even in the Himalayas. Why would it be impossible? Just because we haven't seen them doesn't mean they don't exist.
I want to see a fairy. I know they're there. I'm looking for them all the time. One of them must just come and show me. I just want to see.
I'm sure they're around you, though. You got it, right?
I know. I try. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions for me? Do I go to Yorkshire or what should I do?
Go to Yorkshire and buy a bike and get up on a very cold morning and start riding and see what happens.
So I have a question for both of you about if you come across somebody with... I don't know, I guess like they need a healing. Are you able to do it sort of without them knowing, or do you always need to ask kind of permission?
Mitra.
Well, I will tell you this. First of all, I myself don't consider myself as a healer, like being able to rid someone of illness. I don't see myself that. There is Reiki ability, which I have, and I'm able to tune in and be able to guide them or help redirect their energies and help them be able to bring forth their own healing by focusing on it. However, the kind of healing that someone would say, oh, I have cancer, can you get it out of my body, or I have a bad illness, that is not my jurisdiction. My jurisdiction is more with spiritual healing. Is being able to guide the person to heal the places within themselves that they feel, you know, have been their challenge, their wounds, their barrier. And through that healing, they will be able to then have a better well-being, overall well-being, physical, mental, psychological, and spiritual. So I'm always very clear with that, you know. I think that that type of healing that, you know, maybe John of God is known for, or maybe there's certain people are known for, that is not in my capability.
Okay. And Andre, can you speak to that?
So, yeah, well, I don't believe that anybody can heal anybody. What I believe is that we allow the healing to take place, just like Mitra said. Mm-hmm. So I consider healing to be a blockage or stuck energy. And the role of a healer or a practitioner is to get the flow moving. If you look at acupuncture, if you look at Reiki, mm-hmm. if you look at even at massage or neuromuscular treatments, it's all about flow. So I would never, ever do anything without somebody's permission.
Sure.
So if somebody wants help, they normally find me. I can suggest something. If I see somebody in pain, I could say, you know, I'm a crazy guy. I have this weird ability to make you feel better. Can I help you? But I think it's sometimes you have to go through things. Look at Oprah Winfrey. She went through so much as a young woman. And did that not make her the powerhouse she is today? Would it have been wrong back then to have stopped some of the things she was going through? You know, you just, I think you have to wait until the person's ready. Healing tends to naturally find its own place and also naturally find the people or the things you need to help yourself. What we need to do is teach people to be aware of what they need and to listen to their intuition that will guide them to the correct healing space.
I want to say something here about Andre, though, but Andre is, he is really tremendously tuned in with the human body. I remember one time, first couple times I had met Andre, my stomach was feeling strange, but, you know, I didn't say anything. I went and I was having a cup of tea with him, and he said, and then I suddenly felt an energy shift in my stomach. And I thought it was okay. And he goes, your stomach feels better now, doesn't it?
Oh, and no way.
And I remember I said, yeah, it actually does. He goes, yeah, I just worked on it.
Oh, wow. I love
it. And that was pretty incredible to me because, again, I did not express it that I was in any discomfort. And he didn't really, quote, know me by then. You know, he didn't, it was like my second time seeing him. And that was, to me, you know, we always look for confirmations when we go to people who do this type of work, whether it's a medium, it's a psychic, it's a spiritual teacher, it's a medical intuitive. There's a confirmation that I feel the universe sends us. And that confirmation, we know this person is the real deal. Because there are many people out there who may not be, you know.
Sure.
So that was such a big confirmation, although I knew that Andre was, but this was right there, the universe saying, this is the real deal. And I will say that, you know, the people that have gone and seen Andre, they really feel what he has brought forth in their lives has created shifts in their physical and mental well-being. And no, I can't say that about too many people. So I just want to say, because Andre's so humble, he will never say that.
Oh, well, with that,
I just want to say that. You know, it really, he really is so tuned into the mechanisms of the spirit that connects to the body. Very tuned into this.
So with that fabulous endorsement, yes. Andre, are you available to give a really quick little reading for both Kelly and me? Are you able to do on air?
I was trying to work out who has the back problem, and I was thinking it might be Kelly, but I was feeling a lower back pain, and I'm going to guess it's Kelly. Kelly, have you had a back problem in the past or something more
recent?
I think
it's Deborah, because Deborah has back issues. That's funny. I think it's Deborah, yeah.
Deborah, is it like L3 or L4? Is that where you're having the issues?
4 and 5. However, since I started yoga and Pilates in the last 6 months, I have not had one issue. So I'm doing something helpful.
I hate to say this, but I think it's the way you're driving. I don't know whether you have a certain kind of seat in your car, a certain position, but this is repetitive. So that L4 is the main area where most of the issues are. And it seems that it's an old injury, but it gets aggravated, I think, by your car seat. But it's however you're sitting seems to kind of knock it out of shape. So yoga is really good, but Pilates would be a really good choice for you. But I'm also seeing this thirst for knowledge, Deborah. I don't know whether you're a bookworm, but I get this feeling that you're never happier than when you're learning something. And it feels like you haven't been doing that as much recently. So there's almost like a desire to learn more or to reach out and discover more. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Yes, totally.
And I think that 2017, certainly in the early parts of 2017, you're going to find yourself craving that knowledge even more. It's like there's a certain amount of excitement about life. And I think for a lot of us right now, the energy is so frenetic and so chaotic and so unpredictable that it's actually an adventure. And you can either look at it as being complete chaos, or you can look at it as a world of endless possibilities. And I think you're leaning more toward the endless possibilities.
Nice reading.
That's very beautiful. And any major health concerns or anything that I need to pay attention to in my diet or...
Definitely your diet, your digestive system. You're lacking minerals. I don't like it when I see a precursor to lacking minerals. That can affect bones. That can lead to other areas, but it normally assimilates around the digestive system. So I don't know whether you're getting 100% of what you should be absorbing. So your food may not be getting to where it needs to go. I'm going to make a couple of suggestions, and one of them would be to go for things that are more liquidized, so going for smoothies, soups, and such like. But this could be an absorption issue. Have you had absorbing issues in the past at all? Anything that stopped you from absorbing food properly?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Do you work with a nutritionist at all?
No, but my daughter and her boyfriend, they're Ayurvedic practitioners, so they're starting to help me with some different supplements and such.
Are you Pitta? What are you in the Ayurvedic charts?
Yeah, Vata and Pitta.
Vata and Pitta, but mainly
very
Pitta, is that correct?
In Kapha, yes.
Okay, you kind of lean towards the Kapha, but you're definitely a Pitta. I would suggest that you have your son and daughter-in-law, or daughter-in-law and son?
It's my daughter and her boyfriend.
Daughter and boyfriend, okay, I'm close. So I would ask her to take a closer look at you and see why you wouldn't be absorbing. It could be allergy-based. It normally is a sign of someone that's gluten intolerant or has some tendency towards being a celiac. But she can probably work that out by using the charts on you, and then she could explain to you better than I can why the absorption is not going the way it should do. Because you're basically, you're like a shy horse. I mean, you're healthy, except for what I'm seeing. Oh, and have you had whiplash at all? I'm seeing something in the neck as well.
Yes, I have. Twice,
okay.
Severe.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm seeing, actually, have you had whiplash twice?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm seeing two. The second one was quite traumatic. What happened?
Well, the car accident.
But that was, severe whiplash. Were you hit from the side?
Well, they were back-to-back pretty much 3 months apart. I went through the windshield in a Porsche where somebody ran a light, so I went straight forward. And then I was hit on the side 3 months later where somebody ran a stop sign on my other side when I was passing through a train track.
This is so weird. The first one, when it went for the windshield, wasn't as bad as the second one. It's as if that I don't know whether you were bracing more for the second one, but the neck seems to have been affected a lot more by the second accident. Does that make any sense?
Damn those attorneys. They went after the first one more.
I would suggest that you, I don't know whether you know anybody who does cranial sacral or whether you've tried the cranial sacral work, but I think you need to get adjusted upper end, so the plates in the head, which will help the neck. But man, you took a beating twice. I mean, the first one was pretty bad, but the second one, that sideward swipe, it whipped you from side to side. And it seems to have affected not just the structural part, but also the muscles in the neck as well. Has that affected your sleep at all?
Ha! She's the worst sleeper ever.
But that's more recent. I mean, I had these things were years ago. This was like 40 years ago. Yeah, so it
Doesn't matter. It's cyclical. You know, as time goes on, these areas become more relevant. Time has, when it comes to energy, especially things are locked in the neck, they can pop up at any time, 20 or 30 years later. So I would definitely, I'd try the cranial sacral, but I'd also really concentrate on that C2 is where I'm seeing a lot of the issues. And acupuncture, Ayurveda would work really well. 2 weeks in Hawaii with a little guy in a short pair of shorts serving you Mai Tai.
I did very well on my Cancun trip a couple weeks ago. That was where I felt better than I felt in years.
So
okay, we don't want to shortchange Kelly.
Yes,
so thank
I'm
you.
Dying.
That's so awesome. I really, really appreciate that.
Andre, do you see anything with me?
Yeah, Kelly. And I'm trying to understand what I'm seeing because I don't know whether you have an immune issue going on. But there's something I keep looking around the spleen and that area, and that's normally a sign of like autoimmune or someone that can have allergies or a lot of allergies or reactions to things. Am I picking up on you, or is that somebody else?
It's possible. You know, I got tested for high mercury recently, so I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. But
was there any signs of Epstein-Barr at all? Have you ever had issues with Epstein-Barr, any kind of viral load?
I have not.
You're picking that up from me. I had cytomegalo, and my EBV numbers are off the charts.
Deborah, will you stop messing me up?
Sorry, exactly. Should I leave the room? Would that help?
No. This is funny. I'm going to go back to Deborah again. Deborah,
sure.
You need to take care of this immune system. It's something that needs to be put under control, and I think that's what's causing the absorption issues. So talk to your daughter and ask her to put you on an antiviral based Ayurvedic treatment. And if you go antiviral naturally using things like turmeric and so on and so forth, you're going to feel a lot better. This might explain the fatigue that you're feeling and why that neck isn't recovering as quickly.
All right.
So
I take turmeric every day, so that's good. All right, I'm on.
How much do you take?
I couldn't tell you. I take two capsules, whatever it's on the bottle.
I think that your daughter is going to be able to really guide you with this, and I think you'll find that once you start going into those more antiviral type situations with herbs and things like oregano, things like hyssop and so on and so forth, you're going to see a dramatic change. It'll help. It'll give you a lot more energy because basically you're fighting a battle every day right now. You're fighting this off, so you must get pretty fatigued at times.
Yeah, but I'm such a high energy person. It's probably better for the world.
if you're a little more chill.
No, we need high energy people. So I'm going to try and get back to Kelly. Kelly, this is really funny. What I'm seeing around you is I'm seeing spirits. And I keep seeing this lady, and I don't know whether she's a grandmother or
an
older
person. Yes, my grandma! Oh my God, I'm gonna die! Yes, yes, that's my grandma.
But,
wow.
But she's so insistent. I mean, she's a determined lady.
Yes.
And she's also a little bit flirty as well. She's kind of flirty with me a little bit, and she keeps talking about the bread or the baking or something.
Yes.
And she's laughing. She's laughing. I don't know whether you didn't do a good job or whether something funny about baking, but she's laughing. What does that mean?
Okay, she was an amazing baker. I mean, beyond. And I just am horrible in the kitchen. I am the worst cook. I mean, I try so hard, but it's just not my forte. So she's probably like, oh my God, you didn't get it from me, you know. But I think about her every day.
She's laughing so much over here, but she keeps talking about, this is embarrassing. She's talking about underwear.
Underwear?
Really? Really bright underwear.
Well,
like
funny.
It's too bright.
What color are you wearing now,
Let
Kelly?
Me see. Right now, let's see. Thank God I wore it today. No, today it's black, but that's funny. I'll think about that.
No, there's a family joke about this. There's something about somebody wearing, it's either Speedos or it's like underwear. But she's laughing about it because it's a family joke.
That's so funny.
So it's something when she was alive. It's something funny. Can you think of something where, I don't know whether it was you that wore underwear that was kind of inappropriate or somebody did, but it was like, you shouldn't be wearing that. It's like it's too small.
Oh, God, I can't think of anything, but I bet you when we get off, I'll think of it. That's really funny.
But she's laughing at it. So when did she pass?
She passed about three or four years ago. Yeah.
When you're a teenager, did you like wear something like a bikini or something that was just not appropriate?
Probably. That sounds about right.
It was really bright. I don't know why she's bringing this up. I think she's trying to prove who she is. Often they'll give me things that you probably couldn't see.
Yeah.
But she's really, it's really funny. So there's a funny story to this. So I don't know what happened to you, but she's trying to pull the story out, and she's saying that you did something in this bikini, or it was too small.
Oh, that's so funny.
I've had some odd things happen, but I'm not sure what this means.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'll have to think about that. That's really funny, but I could see that happening in my teens. Wow.
But she's talking about, it's like that's who you were. You were a little on the wild side.
Yes.
And experimental. So you would do these different things. She's also telling me about the need for a garden. So I don't know whether you've been thinking about planting a garden or there's a need for a garden, but she's talking about the need for the garden.
Okay.
Planting things and growing things.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. I've been thinking about that. Good.
Have you been thinking about that for a while?
Yes. Yeah, I would say for
a while. Because what she's telling me, and don't take this the wrong way, but she says, do it. Just get up and do it.
All right. I will listen.
And she's showing me flags, lots of flags.
Okay.
I don't know what this means. I don't know whether they're banners or what these flags are, but she's showing me flags. And it's the kind of thing you'd see if somebody won a lot of things, like if they, you know, when you, with horses, you win rosettes or you win different things. And she's telling me something about flags and you winning certain things.
Okay. Well, nice. I hope that's the case. Yeah. I'll buy a lottery ticket today.
No, this is past. This is the past.
Oh, in the past. Okay.
Were you like it?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just was looking at the time because I realized that they were, it was like 1:46, and I know they closed the show, so I was just wondering if we could also share some sentiments for the people who are out there. I thought it would be really wonderful.
Sure. You know what, Andre, I can call you after the show. We can continue because I would love to hear more. But
Yeah. Ahead, of course, yes, okay. We have about 2 minutes for last minute words from both of you. So, Mitra, why don't you take a moment, and then Andre, and then we will close the show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, as we're, again, closing this year, and it's been a year that has brought so much into the world that's been unpredictable, uncertain, somber moments. We've laughed and cried and gained and pained, and yet we're at this moment. And I want to, again, say what I've said all along in my teachings and in my books. We cannot gain any type of perspective or momentum or create peace within ourselves or the world unless we spend or devote a portion of each day to that, even if it's 5 minutes. And it has to begin with us. So, you know, we always say, why is the world like this? But we have to first look at our own lives and our own selves and create the changes we want ourselves, and then bring that forth into the world in a state of void of ego and selflessness. And that is the only way we're going to change the frequencies of the world and bring the synergy of peace and healing. And I believe that we can do that, and I can see that so many people are doing that. So that is basically how I wish to close my part of the show with you today, is to say I really hope that each person will take the time and effort to do the healing. We're all healers. So thank you for giving us this opportunity to come on the show today and share this.
Yes,
now, Andre, do you have any last words for your guests?
Yes. First of all, I want to thank you both for getting the message out. And I want to thank Mitra for a lifetime of giving. But to everybody out there that is a practitioner or who wants to be a practitioner or who believes in this or is doing something natural, thank you. Thank you for, first of all, for saving your body and putting good things in there. But more importantly, for helping the children. Because right now, our children are the biggest targets for all the poisons, everything from colorings in foods to now, you can name so many different things. So thank you for anybody that's even thinking organic. And may this be the best holiday and 2017 be the best year ever. It's going to be a year of endless possibilities.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both so much.
So
beautiful. Really appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
Energy and message.
Yes.
Thank you.
Awesome. Oh my goodness. Thank you. And then we need to thank
you.
Thank you.
All right. Here's a word from our sponsor.
Are you frustrated by the tremendous challenges that so many millions of people face in your dating life? If you are, we have your solution. Come talk to me, Ian Oliver, author of best-selling book Getting Back on Top, and my website, secondchanceatromance.com. We can help you. And remember, all of the profits from our activities go to two very important children-related charities, so it's all going to a great cause, helping you and helping them.
Thank you
so much. Next week we have Bill Benson. We're going to learn about pet therapy.
So cool.
So exciting. What a great show. All right, everybody. We're going to bring in a beautiful new year.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.